and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King, a proclamation from the president.
America is back.
Donald Trump speaking before a joint session of Congress last night. More from CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The president made his case for tariffs, saying they'll only be
a little disturbance. But we're okay with that.
And he said on April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs kick in.
Whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth. Whatever they tax us, we will tax them.
Democrats pounced on this statement.
The days of rule by unelected bureaucrats are over.
Trump saying that is unelected. Elon Musk and Doge cut federal jobs and programs, and he touched on Ukraine.
Earlier today, I received an important letter from President Zelensky of Ukraine. The letter reads, Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer.
I'm Matt Piper. Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan delivered the Democratic response to President Trump's speech. Hers was as concise as the president's was wordy.
Do his plans actually help Americans get ahead? Not even close.
Slotkin implored listeners during her 11-minute rebuttal.
Don't tune out. It's easy to be exhausted, but America needs you now more than ever. If previous generations had not fought for this democracy, where would we be today?
The line of storms that ripped through parts of the Deep South yesterday has moved east after leaving two people dead in Mississippi and heavy damage there and in Texas and Oklahoma. The National Weather Service says a tornado is on the ground for at least 4 miles in Ada in central Oklahoma. This man lives there.
I was pretty alarmed. I'm a Texas boy, so I've never heard winds like that in my life.
CDC workers are in Texas to help slow and stop the measles outbreak that's left one person dead and more than 20 people hospitalized. In Houston, Harris County Judge Linda Hidalgo is telling residents to protect themselves and their children.
Make sure we get those 12-month-olds vaccinated, and those, if there's any of you who are not vaccinated, that you get that done.
Texas has reported nearly 160 cases of the measles since January. Another first for the L.A. Lakers, LeBron James.
LeBron, open three!
James's three-pointer against New Orleans, heard on Spectrum Sports, makes him the first NBA player to reach 50,000 points when you combine both regular and postseason games. Wall Street appears ready for a rebound after 2 days of heavy sell-offs. S&P futures are up 53, Dow futures up 326. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, we'll spend the entire hour with the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Join us Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Packers keep their kicker.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers re-signing place kicker Brandon McManus to a new 3-year contract worth over $15 million. McManus, who turns 34 in July, will be guaranteed $5 million and given a $5 million signing bonus. The New York Jets releasing Devontae Adams, and now fans tweeting the Packers should bring the 32-year-old receiver back to Green Bay. College basketball, Marquette takes on UConn tonight at the Gamble Pavilion in Connecticut. The Badgers in Minneapolis for the border battle with Minnesota. NBA, the Bucks with a 127-121 win over the Hawks in Atlanta. Giannis with his 7th triple-double of the season. Doc Rivers asked about the mix of young and veteran players on this Bucks roster.
We're kind of mixed. We play young and old, but we're not only just veteran players. We have, like, straight grown-ups. I keep saying it. Everybody on our team is over themselves. There's nothing. There's no stuff. What I call clutter. The guys just play together. They want to do right. It's an absolutely fantastic team to coach.
With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. Snow will be heavy at times, especially during the day Wednesday. Total accumulation expected around 3 to 7 inches. Overnight lows in the upper 20s to near 30 degrees and blustery northeast winds. It's 36 at our studios.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Peach Wabba.
Welcome back. Kicking off hour number two as we broadcast statewide here in Wisconsin from beautiful downtown Green Bay, which is right next to the city John Egan lives in De Pere, and he is my guest right now. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Fat Tuesday, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? I said rigatoni D from Maggiano's. Conrad said pasta. What is it? Fettuccine Alfredo with a Big Mac on the side and a big glass of milk.
No milk.
In case you want to vomit now.
No milk.
And John said, pizza. What else did you say, John? You said if you were going to go nuts, and then you listed like every food I've ever heard of.
Right. Yeah. Anything from a pizza place, but yeah, no, my Fat Tuesday meal is definitely jambalaya. That's my go-to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Cause we got the text right when you said that. That's a great go-to. All right. So John is here. He's a comedian, right here in Northeast Wisconsin, De Pere based. He does improv. He does stand up. Very funny guy. Just did a gig with him in Marinette last month where he crushed. John, you said in the email back, we had some fun with that before.
Yeah.
Something about Aldi. I love Aldi. I was scared of Aldi 20 years ago. Now I've embraced Aldi and I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Do you have thoughts on Aldi or were you just dropping that in the email like to be funny?
No, I actually wanted to see because some people still like aren't all in on Aldi. So I honestly wanted to get your perspective and go from there. Because I, yeah. I agree. I was also scared. I remember in college, all I heard was that they had cheaper prices, and I got scared when you needed a quarter for the cart, and I walked away and never came back for like a decade.
Right.
But now it's my favorite place. I was there today. It's the greatest thing in the world. It truly is.
And why were we scared? I remember driving by like. When I lived in Chicago, they were never like beautiful on the outside. And what does that matter? But like, I always thought like, what goes on in there? You know, because the same thing, like I just thought, how are they getting those low prices? Is it even food? And it's phenomenal.
It's so great. And because it is the Wild West. If you have not been in there before, it takes a little bit. Because people are just grabbing boxes from shelves and throwing things in and like things are like spilt and just like, but it's worth it because it is just the same food that's at big stores. It's just a different brand name and marked cheaper because they didn't use it for the regular products. It's fantastic.
That's a great point. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say my only thing right now is they're switching to the self-checkouts. Okay.
Yeah.
And my Aldi has 4. And so what everyone does is it's not completely on center with with an aisle though. So we all make a line and it's always someone or two people who make a new line on the next aisle over and then like just start cutting.
Right.
And like, I'm going to lose it one of these days. Like I keep my anger in check because I'm just an angry Irish guy with problems, but I'm going to blow up at someone soon. Like, I don't know how you can't look around the aisle and notice that people are coming they keep coming and they're checking things out. And I don't know why you think that a new line is fun.
Yeah, nobody thought to move over there. See, I'm a thinker and I'm just going to do that. You're right. It's weird. It's like they're just clueless as to what's going on around them. But you're right. Aldi is like shopping in your own kitchen. You know, people are helping themselves to boxes. And I will say I like the quarter thing because oftentimes when I go to the Aldi and Marinette, people just give you their cart and sometimes they don't even take the quarter. You know, and that sounds funny, like they're trying to be a big shot. They can afford a quarter, but it's a nice gesture. It's a very simple, small thing that goes a long way, I think.
Well, and the fact that they have, like, as they call it, the Isle of Shame, it is just a bunch of good stuff you can buy. Like, we bought our, like our outside umbrella and stand there. They usually have clothes. They usually have, like, Legos and toys and books. And, like, so it's like they've got a lot of stuff at Aldi where, you know, it really... They're always just missing a couple things. That's my only issue, is that you always have to go to a store for, like, three things. Like, today, no mini bagels, no rice vinegar, like, nothing else. So it's always two things that are missing that you really want that they do not have.
That's my wife's biggest complaint, too. You have to start with Aldi and then go other places to get the rest of the stuff. Hey, John, what did you think about the Oscars? Did you watch?
Yes, I watch every year. I'm a huge movie person. I was obsessed with movies as a kid, so I still watch it. And this was the first time my kids watched it, too.
Oh,
I think, last year they watched the I Am Ken song, and they loved it. So they watched a little bit more because they liked Wicked.
Oh, nice.
But, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I thought Conan did fantastic.
He was great. Did you have any problems with the award winners or the Best Picture actors, actresses?
My only issue was Amelia Perez, in my humble opinion... It's the worst movie to ever be nominated for Best Picture.
And it got 13. What is that? That's crazy.
And the issues with the main actress and the director and all these things. I mean, Zoe Saldana, I'm very glad she won. Yeah. She's a great actress. It was like a kind of a makeup one. Not a makeup one, but one of those like, hey, you are a great actress. You deserve this. But man, I don't remember any of the songs in that movie. And it's a musical. That's not good. If your musical doesn't have memorable songs... That's not good.
Right. I felt the same way. It looked weird. They had sometimes two sets of subtitles, what they were saying, then what they were singing. The end was weird. I really think I was like, God, this got nominated 13 times. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't hate it, but I was just like, there's a lot that's wrong with this movie.
Yes. It was in concept, something very cool and outside the box that was just very... poorly executed. When you make a Spanish language film with a French director who doesn't like the Spanish language, not a great thing.
right.
Or a choice.
What was the best movie you saw of all those that were nominated, or what have you seen that you could recommend?
Geez, I'm a big horror guy, so The Substance to me would have been a crazy, amazing left field play. It's an old school homage to old horror movies and body horror. The fact that it made me like gag at the end is showing you that they went crazy with the body horror.
That's awful.
I knew it wasn't going to win, but I did. I mean, as much as it kept happening, Anora was a cool movie to win all that stuff. I mean, it was such a experience to watch that movie of like, because like you're in that world for that, like 2 hours of what's going on. And I forgot the director made Tangerine and the Florida Project, which I love. If you've not seen the Florida Project, you need to see it. It's a must-watch movie.
Dude, I just saw the Florida Project like 6 weeks ago. It is in my top 10 of all time. The ending of that movie is so great. Loved Willem Dafoe. I know you don't like him because he's from Appleton, but like all of the things. no, I really did. I loved the Florida Project, and I liked Anora. And I thought I was happy at one because of all the cool stuff Sean Baker said. He talked about indie film and going to theaters, and like, it is impossible not to like this guy. And even Mikey Madison, like, she did carry the film. And it was a great night for that movie. And I thought the whole broadcast was great.
Right. Yeah. First ever Ghostface killer from Scream to win an Oscar. That was fun for Mikey Madison.
Oh, she was? Well,
slight spoilers. I'm so sorry if you haven't seen Scream 6 from... 10 years ago now.
You just angered a lot of people.
And it was funny because, you know, Demi Moore probably wasn't going to win, but the fact that the young, hot actress won for her instead of Demi Moore is literally the plot of The Substance. It was just very weird that art imitated life.
That is weird. And I got a couple, like I posted on Facebook just that I like Mikey Madison's speech. She had great energy. She was happy. It was very genuine. And I kind of got a little bit of pushback. And I'm like, I'm not saying Demi Moore was bad. Although I don't think that what she did in the substance, she was good, but she didn't carry the movie. Like you had Margaret Qualley there, the monster. Like I have no problem with Mikey Madison winning. She was great.
Yeah, no, she was good. Yeah. I mean, none of them were really surprises, but it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, thanks so much. Let's talk movies again soon. And I don't care where you're from, John. You're A-OK in my book, buddy. This was fun.
Thanks, Pete. Always a pleasure. And, I love Craig. I said I don't like him earlier, but he's amazing. He's gonna be better than me.
We have fun. Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll get you guys in here one of these days, and you can do some improv. That would be a blast. OK. Sounds great. Have a great night, John. Thanks.
You too, sir.
All right. That's John Egan. Check out at Brewers Raptors on Twitter and on Blue Sky. John does a great job hosting that podcast, and he's a great follow. And as you just heard, a very good guy. So we have our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen. It's Fat Tuesday. I don't know if you celebrate Fat Tuesday. I don't know. Do people go crazy for Fat Tuesday? Like, Conrad, you and your friends get around, you know, have a card game or throw back some shots and celebrate Fat Tuesday?
I share this
with
my amazing partner, Georgina, who has not only reinvigorated my own...
He's still going.
Sorry, that was the wrong feed. I didn't mean to click that.
It's still going. That's his Fat Tuesday meal, is his own voice. Good Lord.
No, I don't think I've ever celebrated Fat Tuesday with any of my friends.
There was a great comedian, John Knight, good comedian, very nice guy, too, out of Pittsburgh. He used to do a joke, where do they get all the ashes for Ash Wednesday? And he said all the priests get together on Tuesday and play poker and smoke cigars, and they call it Poker Tuesday to set up for Ash Wednesday. It's a very funny bit. Bridget checks in on the text line from the 818. She says, pizza and salad, yum, yum. Yeah, that's a great Fat Tuesday meal, but I don't need the salad in there. I got to be honest. It's Fat Tuesday. That's salad is what you eat all through Lent, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That was, you give up meat.
Yeah.
So salad's a part of that. So I'm not going near it on Fat
Tuesday.
I'm not
teasing you, Bridget. You eat whatever you want. Even if you want to eat pounds of salad, that's the day to do it. Steady Eddie checks in. He says, Pete, I was not thinking about today being Fat Tuesday, but tonight I made some pasta rotini with a 5-cheese tomato-based sauce from a jar, and then I added a fried cut-up bratwurst and some onion. I enjoyed a magical blending of cuisines, Italian and German. It was delicioso in the worst W-U-R-S-T way. Bon appetit, Steadfast Edward. Oh, he's very dignified tonight, Conrad. He's Steadfast Edward.
Yeah.
And I still love that jambalaya with alligator gumbo and king cake for dessert. You posted a picture of king cake. I had never seen that before.
I haven't either, yeah.
It looks delicious.
Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I don't know about the... John was saying something about the baby in the middle of it. That's kind of weird. But
I've never heard of
the
that.
Cake looks good. I would steer clear of the baby and the salad on Fat Tuesday. Craig Kinnett is coming up next. He's in studio, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Film Festivals. He's fresh off the Door County Film Festival. We're looking forward to the Green Bay Film Festival, where there will be a tribute to Bill Rabane and the giant spider invasion. We're going to talk some... John Mino is going to work his way into this next segment, Conrad. Did you know that?
That's awesome.
By way of Craig Kinnett, yeah. All right, so we're doing all that when we come back. Keep texting us, folks. What is your Fat Tuesday meal? Let us know. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Progress we have found a way to talk around the problem. Building towers for
locally grown radio, WFHR.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, so this might be the best text I've ever read. Our question of the night is, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? Because Fat Tuesday is the day, folks, you can overdo it. Smoke a bunch of cigarettes if you're going to quit smoking. Eat a lot if you're going to diet. Have a couple beers if you're going to give it up, whatever. This is Brian from Milwaukee says, a bag of George Webb cheeseburgers and fries. That is so, like, not old school, but what's the word? Like a bag of cheeseburgers. Like he's just going to cut through all of them. And then he says, don't forget the root beer float. Is that what George Webb is known for? Root beer floats?
I think they have good root beer down there.
I've eaten at several of them, not for a while, but I like George Webb. And that must be a thing. Like you get a bag of cheeseburgers. That's so great.
In Milwaukee, there was one
sack of burgers
kind of close to my house. And I ordered that at like 2 a.m. after going to the bar. And I forgot that I ordered it and fell asleep. And my roommate walked upstairs, woke me up. He's like, hey, here's your bag of burgers.
Oh, that's so funny. We had, my brother lived at a place in Madison with like three other guys, and some of their high school friends went and came down to party, and they did, and they put a pizza in the oven at like 3 a.m, and then they all passed out.
Oh, no.
And it was a very hot summer already, and now the oven's going at 450 for like 7 hours or whatever, and one of the guys worked nights, and he gets home, and he goes, hey, dude, your pizza's done. It's like this, just piece of charcoal. Craig Kinnett is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
He is in the studio back. He's been here before a few times, and he joins us in the studio, which is always fun for me to have you here in person, Craig. So welcome, my friend.
Super cool. Super good to be here.
Yeah. Well,
to see both Conrad and you, my friend.
Equally, or is there a...
Well, Conrad and I haven't been out
Conrad
for a while.
Gives you less crap, so you probably are a little more happy now.
Yeah.
It's good to have you, buddy. Welcome, and thanks for coming in. You were just telling me about Fat Tuesday. You had a great stat there.
Well, I heard you mention that little plastic baby in the king cake.
Yeah.
And John mentioned that just a little bit earlier. And that's a tradition that goes back over 100 years. And it's not that I know that, but I remember talking about that with a group at Comedy City. So maybe John heard that same thing too. And it's a little, right now it's a little plastic cakes or a little plastic baby. It's about an inch or two, you know, not very big. And whoever bites into that sucker, you get good luck.
Well,
so,
maybe dental work.
and maybe choking. Who knows?
I don't like my desserts when I have a chance at a serious injury.
No
I tend
kidding.
To steer clear of that kind of stuff.
Well, and you eating a baby, that just is a little bit
weird.
Strange. But yeah, it's good luck to bite the baby.
Well, thank that sounded really weird. Thank you for doing that that research.
Yeah, I just thought it's like, okay, what would I have? You know, for Fat Tuesday.
What would you do?
And, last week you were talking about soups, Pete. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I was so mad at Conrad. Don't tell him this, but he let me down.
He doesn't
big
have
time.
His headphones on right
no,
now.
No, no. Yeah, I see that. You don't even get a chance to hear how wrong you are. I don't know if he's really from Wisconsin. That just kind of makes.
What's up?
Well, he didn't like soup. He said it's like a watery meal.
I don't like soup.
Yet. He's not a soup fan. And it's like, man, that what the heck was that gal talking about? The Zupa Toscata.
Oh, yeah.
And that
was like the favorite soup of the night.
You got to try that one. Yeah. It's fantastic. But one of my favorite soups is a seafood stew.
Oh,
And my God, great. I can't find it anywhere. And if it, really? So it's to me, that would be a real Cajun type dish.
Yeah.
So if we're going to celebrate Mardi Gras, let's go with the seafood stew.
You could fill up on some stew, too.
Yeah.
That would
be great.
That would set you packing, man. That's fantastic.
Heck yeah.
So, we've got a lot to talk about. You've been a really busy guy lately. You're at all these different film festivals. You've got events coming up. Let's start with the Door County Film Festival.
Oh, that's a great place to start.
I want to apologize because I got the flu. Kurt Krause, he said, hey, would you want to come on Saturday and do something?
We would have loved to have you there.
I would have loved to have gone, but I did. I got really sick. I missed 3 nights on the air, and I think that was the Saturday. And I ended up going out of town, but I still felt like dog crap. But anyway, thank you for the invitation.
It was pretty bad weather, too. Not terribly so, but it was snowing continuously for like 2 days.
That's right.
Light snow coming down the whole time.
Was I sick? I don't know what's going on. But I remember that because I left here. I was going to Milwaukee to see my son that night, and we had to pull over in Sheboygan and get a hotel room.
Oh, that's right. You said that on the air, man.
What a waste of money.
No kidding. That's an hour away, or what is? Well,
the things my wife tells me to do.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. So give us a rundown. How was the festival? Give us some highlights, because we haven't talked about it since it ended.
Kurt and Chris are fantastic guys.
Kurt Krause. Both
of those guys.
Show.
I really like those guys a lot. And they are just wonderful examples of Wisconsinites. Seriously. Kurt is just the most humble, dearest, sweetest guy that I know. And he does a lot of work.
Craig.
Like, he even does work for people down in Nicaragua. I don't know if you realize that or not.
I didn't know that.
But that guy is outstanding. And Chris Opper has been with that festival for a long time. We met up at the Independent Filmmakers Guild up here in Green Bay. And I think we all took you out for pizza that one time after that, which was quite a long time ago. And I know that was a highlight because we're just like, hey, we got Pete Traba with us. Awesome. And I think that was right at the time when Godfather Green Bay was coming out.
Yes. Wow. That's taking me back.
That's back quite a bit.
I woke up in a motel room, Conrad.
No more details. No more details.
Very suspicious night, but I didn't pay for anything, so I'm not complaining. That's right. Wow, nice.
But the festival up in Door County, it's such a gorgeous setting. Even with that little bit of snow coming down.
It was Egg Harbor or Fish Creek?
It was between Fish Creek and Egg Harbor,
Northern
I believe.
Northern Sky?
Yes. It's a great facility, man. I couldn't believe it. And the nice thing is that this place isn't being used at all in the wintertime. So when he gets a chance to bring people there, it's a great use of that facility. And I'll tell you what, my film looked fantastic.
Tell us about your film.
The Inheritance.
Yeah. Because
I was part of 3 movies, Pete, for that thing. The Inheritance is a short film that I did with Ian Teal over at Waiwiga.
Okay.
And it's like, hey, Ian, we've got a day. Let's make a movie here. I've got a script. It's kind of about, you know, I just heard this thing on the radio from Elton John. He's talking about, oh man, I just lost a friend. He was such a great friend, and I would give up my fame and my fortune if I could have one more conversation with this friend.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so commendable. But really, what would happen if you got the opportunity for that?
A big argument.
Or who knows? I mean,
throwing hands.
And that was it, because we used the bar in Waiwiga in the Opera House to make the film, and we actually shot it there, and then they played it at their film festival, and it was so cool because people could turn around and look. But I see you got a cut.
That's awesome. Let's do that. We'll pick up there after the news. Craig Anthony Kinnett is here, ladies and gentlemen. Send a text if you have a question for Craig or me, or have personal problems, or tell us what your Fat Tuesday meal is. We're coming right back after the news. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News special report. President Trump pushes his agenda forward.
Tariffs are about making America rich again and making America great again, and it's happening, and it will happen rather quickly.
His address to a joint session of Congress also focused on immigration.
Illegal border crossings last month were by far the lowest ever recorded, ever.
And taking back the Panama Canal.
We need it really for international world security, and I think we're going to get it. One way or the other, we're going to get it.
Such a speech usually calls for unity between parties, but last night was anything but that. Michigan Senator Alyssa Slotkin delivering the Democratic response.
America wants change, but there's a responsible way to make change and a reckless way.
And some Democrats disputed the president's claims by holding up signs that said lies. And Texas Congressman Al Green, who protested verbally, was ejected from the House chamber. CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers keep their kicker.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers re-signing place kicker Brandon McManus to a new three-year contract worth over $15 million. McManus, who turns 34 in July, will be guaranteed $5 million and given a $5 million signing bonus. The New York Jets releasing Devontae Adams, and now fans tweeting the Packers should bring the 32-year-old receiver back to Green Bay. College basketball, Marquette takes on UConn tonight at the Gamble Pavilion in Connecticut. The Badgers in Minneapolis for the border battle with Minnesota. NBA, the Bucks with a 127-121 win over the Hawks in Atlanta. Giannis with his seventh triple-double of the season. Doc Rivers asked about the mix of young and veteran players on this Bucks roster.
We're kind of mixed. We play young and old, but we're not only just veteran players. We have, like, straight grown-ups. I keep saying it. Everybody on our team is over themselves. There's nothing. There's no stuff. What I call clutter. The guys just play together. They want to do right. It's an absolutely fantastic team to coach.
With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A complete unknown drew a complete goose egg at the Oscars despite 8 Academy Award nominations. To make matters worse, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the subject of the Bob Dylan biopic, also known as Bob Dylan, was invited to both present and perform at the ceremony, but declined on both fronts. Mick Jagger ended up presenting in his place. At the beginning of the show, host Conan O'Brien joked that Timothy Chalamet learned how to sing so well in preparation for playing Bob Dylan, he almost didn't get the role. Tabloids love their clickbait. After finding out that Mikey Madison won the Oscar for Best Actress as Anora, tabloids made a big stink that Demi Moore gritted her teeth and seemed upset. A closer look at the situation by a lip reader revealed Moore turned to the person next to her and said, "Nice." One clickbait tabloid in particular said later in its article that Moore was very happy for Madison. Now that's journalism. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. Snow will be heavy at times, especially during the day Wednesday. Total accumulation expected around 3 to 7 inches. Overnight lows in the upper 20s to near 30 degrees and blustery northeast winds. Currently 35 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Maggie Dawn
at 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Checks in from Appleton, and he says, if you want real Cajun food north of New Orleans, come to Appleton, Wisconsin, and stop at the nationally award-winning Cozy Corner.
Oh, I want to go there.
You been there?
I'm writing that down. No.
Con, you been there? Okay. Jim says, my Fat Tuesday was full of Italian food. The wait line at the Cozy Corner was too long for my hunger today. Okay. You still got time, Jim. We got a few hours before midnight. Daniel from Menasha checks in and says, Fat Tuesday, growing up Catholic, I kept it real and enjoyed a bowl of lard with a glass of chicken broth.
Mm. Oh, that's so nice.
That's a great meal if you want to vomit immediately.
I think I know that, Daniel.
Could be Daniel Wheeler. I'm not sure.
I think it might be.
Tom from Monona. This is my text. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow.
Wow. That's
he wants
nice.
He wants to self cuddle.
Yeah.
Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday. Keep those texts coming, folks. Craig Kinnett is here. We're talking. We were talking about the Door County Film Festival.
Let's see. Let's pick up right there where we left off.
What should people do? Next year, you're going to have it. What's the one thing you can tell people about what happened this year that would make them want to go next year? What do we miss?
You know, any film festival worth their salt has this opportunity for you to rub elbows with the folks and talk with the filmmakers. And the Door County Film Festival is just, you know, it has that as well in spades, by all means. And you know what? I don't know if you've heard that film Green Blah. You heard anything about that?
It sounds familiar, but
that's
I don't
the
know
punk. That's the punk rock movement here in Green Bay.
Yeah.
That played on
documentary.
A very meaty documentary. Holy cats, it's huge, and it talked about all these punk bands that came to Green Bay and would oftentimes bypass like Milwaukee or Chicago or some of these other bigger towns just to come to Green Bay. And we're talking band guys like Henry Rollins. It's like, holy
And the
cats.
Red Hot Chili Peppers were here well, for that famous...
That could have been a different time, but...
Yeah, okay.
But it I got a chance to see that film finally, and it was very endearing. It was well worth the watch.
Okay.
And then they had a get-together afterwards that I kind of missed out on, but we got a chance to chat with people before then. So just meeting other people passionate about what you're trying to do is so inspiring for yourself. Seriously. Right. And that's what we need to do. And you know, the people and the Academy Awards this last weekend, they talked a lot about getting into the theaters, Pete. Did you catch that?
I did. Sean Baker said that. Yeah.
He was the guy that won for
Anora.
Yeah. He was a real passionate dude.
Oh, his speeches were great.
Yeah. And you know what? He was pretty quick about him too.
Yeah.
That other guy, what the heck? He went on forever. What was that guy's name?
Do we know that guy's name?
I don't.
The guy from The Brutalist.
Is he still talking?
Let's
check in and see what's happening.
He's got to be done by now.
Counting me down. Okay. Thanks.
He restarted.
He started again.
Thank you. He took an intermission. Like in The Brutalist. And he came back.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
Adrian Brody. Hey, this wasn't his first rodeo, though.
No.
So he obviously could keep going.
It's an ongoing rodeo.
And I thought that, you know, he said that. I thought, okay, he's going to wrap this up really nice and sweet.
Yeah.
He went on an extra 3 minutes, felt like. That
he
was
told
crazy.
Him to cut the music. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I think, in a nutshell, in a roundabout way, the coolest part about film festivals. Getting a chance
Definitely.
To meet, talk, see, understand what is happening. There was a woman that showed a film there that was a love letter to the girl that she gave up for adoption. And you don't ever see stories like that. She gave up this girl for adoption. She was a musician and it just didn't have what the relationship wasn't working out. So she wanted to give this child up, but she wanted to stay connected. And she was able to do that throughout the course of her life. And it was just a beautiful film to watch how this girl grew up independently, but knew her mother, knew her biological mother the whole time, and the adopted mother was super, you know, supportive.
I saw that film. That was Kate Stapleton. Yes, right? Yes, she was on the show.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, very cool. Did they do any music?
They were not here live. It was an interview over the phone because she was going to be at Door County.
Yep.
Well, that sounds great. And they filmed Green and Gold there. I mean, Door County could conceivably be a film hub. I don't know if that's what the people of Door County want, if they want that many more people there. But
I talked with Chris Opper, and it sounds like they're in the midst of building a film office up there independently of what they're trying to do down in Milwaukee.
Nice.
And I think that that might be, you know, probably a really great idea because there's already people wanting to use Door County as a film location.
It's a great location.
It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Let's turn our attention to another film festival. You are like the most tied in guy with Wisconsin film festivals that I know of.
Craig. I used to be.
Green Bay. That's coming up. We've had Nick Wattier on the show before. That's going to be a fun event. Talk a little bit about that. You're going to be pretty involved.
I love Nick. The last time I saw him was in Door County, and I went to shake his hand. I went to fist bump him, and I punched his drink right into his coat. Oh, my gosh. What a goofball.
You know, I don't know what it is about Door County, but I saw Nick there. We fist bumped and ended up antiquing the rest of the day. So it's just one of those things that happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Nick's a good guy, and that's a great film festival. I want to check it out.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a different kind of format, and they've got some cool stuff this year. So talk a little bit about what you have going on.
And Green Bay has kind of gone through a couple of shifts with how they actually run the festival. In the last 2 years, they've kind of broken it up. They select all their movies at one point, and then they break it up into like four different segments. And there's coming up March 15th is their Green Bay Film Festival's Wisconsin's Own Part 1.
Okay.
And I think Part 2 is April 12th, but I'm not exactly sure if my film is... I know it's not in the first one. It might be in the second one. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
But... that is always a great time to go and watch. The Tarleton is a really great venue.
That's what I hear.
For watching these films. And actually, ironically, or not so ironically, that is the location of the very first Wildwood Film Festival that we hosted more than 20 years ago. So that was super cool to actually kind of see that venue being utilized. And it's gone through a couple of different changes since that time period. But now to see it go for a circle and actually it's back. Being a film festival place or a theater and eatery and just an all-around great party spot. I mean, that's perfect.
I've heard nothing but great stuff about the Green Bay Film Festival, and that does sound like a perfect venue. So talk about this, Craig. This is like the third or fourth time on the show I've talked about Bill Rabane, and he was on the show with your help.
Thank you again for that.
You guys have another cool event coming up surrounding the giant spider invasion. Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm glad you asked about that, Pete. Like I said, the Green Bay Film Festival is their typical, their Wisconsin's own part of the film festival is March 15th. But March 14th, the Friday before, is going to be a big kickoff for the giant spider invasion. And we're going to hopefully have Bill there answering questions. And Bill just turned 88.
Whoa.
Seriously. So, I mean, he's still sharp as a tack. I love chatting with him, although he gets so doggone lonely being way up in the sticks.
Is he by himself up there?
Well, most of the time he is. He's got people that come over and help him, or he talks to people on the phone a lot. But, you know, that still only gives you social time.
Right.
You know, how much. But he's got so many ideas floating around. And that's one of the things that JB, if you're listening, we got to make sure that you are like a project manager for this guy, because we got to get some stuff done. He's just got so much stuff that he's thinking about.
JB's the guy behind the guy.
He is.
You know that? Yeah.
That's probably makes him more famous than anybody, which drives me nuts.
Well, except he likes to lay low because he just goes by JB. He's just got one of those monikers. Yeah. It's like Lady Gaga
or whatever.
That
kind of works.
It works for him. But, all right, that'll be fun. That's on March 14th.
March 14th at 7 o'clock. But here's the cool part, too, is not only is Bill going to be there, but our very own Dan Davies will be there as well. And to start the day off, to start the event off, where they're going to be playing The Rise of Deermageddon, which is the teaser for the real Deermageddon that they're hoping to shoot someday in the future when they get all these great, cool financiers and whatnot. But that is going to be playing, and Dan will be hosting the event. And then Vance will be coming on and asking some questions. Vance is from the film festival as well. And he is really one of the key guys that helped get Bill there. Vance, his last name escapes me right now, but he is a super huge movie fan. And when I was at the film festival last time, I was talking to Bill. And Vance was like, hey, come on over here. Talk to him on the phone. And he's like, no, I can't. And so I actually introduced him on the phone just like that. And they kind of, Vance went up and talked to Bill, interviewed him for a magazine, which is called Physical Media Advocate.
Hmm.
That's a magazine, Pete.
Wow.
And you know what it's for?
yeah, not
think
me.
About it. Yeah, not, well, but it might be. Because it's
like
actually
film
for,
tech stuff.
Well, it's for film, like DVD box sets.
Oh, okay.
So anything that has this collectability, there's still people out there in the world that are hungry for it.
Yeah.
So we're seeing so much streaming and so much stuff coming on online, but there are still fans for this physical media that's out there. And the cooler you can make it, you know, the better people will have to, the more chances they'll get a chance to see it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, you got it. We're looking
we
at
have a text here that is aimed for our guest, Craig Kinnett. Daniel Imanashi says, what advice does Craig give to his Boys and Girls Club kids when asked about making movies? This is very similar to a question I was going to ask you.
Oh, cool.
And you kind of just, your attitude is like, make it. Like, I love that you got an idea and one day you shot something and, you know, it's a little short, but you put it up and that's how you exercise that muscle, right?
Who is that from?
Daniel Imanashi.
Oh, that's probably Daniel Wheeler.
Yeah.
I love that question. And Pete, this is how it happens. Kid comes in. I've got a little guy named Caleb.
Yeah.
Red-haired little guy. He comes in. He's like, Mr. Craig, we want to make a movie. Well, what do you want to make it about? I don't know. We want to come in and we're going to ask you for some glue and some rubber bands. And I'm like,
budget.
Okay, that sounds great. So this is what they came up with. The kids come in, hey, Mr. Craig, we need some rubber bands, we need some staples and some glue and a battery, AA battery. All right, what are you kids going to make? We want to make a time machine. So they build a time machine, and guess what? The darn thing works.
It works.
Yeah. Isn't that cute? That's adorable. So let's make it happen.
You mean
They're going to go back and see dinosaurs.
Okay.
So we're going to, so not only will they learn how to write, they'll learn how to actually shoot that, but we're going to have to green screen the dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll probably use these little puppet dinosaurs that I've got in my classroom. So they, all of a sudden, now they're learning on multiple levels how to make a movie and how that movie magics and that tricks work. Talk about exciting.
We have a clip of you, of this little guy, I think, talking to...
Oh, this
to,
is a different thing.
This is a... Oh, that's a different thing.
That's a totally different
thing.
Okay. Yeah, we've got Beckett.
So how long is that clip, Conrad?
It's about a minute and 30.
Do we have time to play that now and then we can discuss it when we come back, or should we wait?
I'd play it after.
Play it after. Okay,
play it
we'll
after.
Do that. We can help close the last segment down with that. So.
Well, you know, and wrapping up the giant spider thing, Pete, you know, if you think back to all the classic science fiction movies from the past, it's like the Planet of the Apes wasn't really about apes. It was about racism. When you really get down to the meat of it, or Soylent Green, it wasn't really about... What is Soylent Green? It's about, you know, the oppression of the poor. And the Terminator was about the AI takeover.
Right.
When the giant spider invasion actually represents the political separation of the masses that are drawn together through this giant spider trauma. And the giant spider represents the impossible escape from inflation. So that's sort of...
who came up with that? Was that...
I don't know. I thought that maybe the Republican buddies out there would join in and watch the film.
I could buy into that. Sure, why not? JB, the guy behind the guy, checks in on the stream and says, well said, Pete and Craig. The Rise of Dermageddon rides again. Thank you, Vance, Cindy, and the crew of the Green Bay Film Festival.
Yay.
Thank you,
Cindy's
buddy.
Cindy's awesome.
Good to hear from you, JB. So we'll do this. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and play...
I'll
Mr.
give you a little
John
bit of,
Mino.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about what that is.
All right, fantastic. We'll do that after a very short break. Craig Anthony Kinnett is here. He's going to help me shut this thing down. Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last year that the Trump transition team had been funding itself through unknown private donations and refused to sign a General Services Administration transition support memo, which limited private donations to $5,000. The memo was never signed, and the transition's private donors still haven't been disclosed. Nonprofit news site Notice reports that previous transition teams disclosed that information by February 19th, including Trump's first transition. In November, Trump's chief of staff promised to disclose those donors. The Presidential Transition Act of 1963 allows money controlled by the GSA to fund presidential transition expenses, including office space, personnel, IT, and other support services to aid incoming and outgoing administrations. That funding is contingent on the incoming administration signing a memo of understanding and the $5,000 limit on private donations. But while Trump's team agreed on the terms of the new administration's move into the White House, it refused to sign GSA's transition support memo, allowing it to sidestep the limits and disclosure requirements. So between November 7th and January 20th, it's likely millions were received from wealthy donors and corporations, and Americans still don't know who funded its transfer of power and the influence it bought. We've linked the Notice report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here. We'll talk a little showbiz with Chris, like we often do, and then... Oh, God, help me out with this guy's name, Conrad. It's Rich...
Locasio.
Locasio. Here I am asking you for advice. Rich Locasio will be here. Because there are some huge events in wrestling coming up with John Cena and The Rock. There was some bad blood.
Yikes.
So we'll jump into that tomorrow with Rich. Rich is always fun, and as is Chris. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now we have a few more minutes with our friend Craig Kinnett, who's here in the studio. Talking about, so let's do that. Should we play the clip and then talk about it?
Sure, if you want to.
All right, Conrad, this is a clip. This is a, was this in the morning show?
This was something that we did for the kids' podcast.
Okay.
We've got a little fella named Beckett who is not quite 10 yet, or he just turned 10.
Wow.
And a little red-haired firecracker. Not all the kids at the Boys and Girls Club have red hair, just to make that clear, because I talked about two of them today.
Why would we think they do?
I don't know. That's because they're the only kids I talked about. But he is just so sharp, and he knows more about sports, Pete, than I ever will in my lifetime if I started studying now.
Wow.
He's just this, so knowledgeable, and he wanted to make a podcast, so we made it happen, and it's really exploded.
And he's matching wits with WGBW's own...
John Mino
from the Mino and the Mayor in the morning show.
He's built a nice little connection with the show in the morning.
Oh, that's
too.
So great. It's a fun show, and it sounds like he's a great addition when he's on it. So let's hear that clip.
This is kind of an opinion question.
Okay.
Do you think that the Packers should be the only team in the league that plays more home games than away games?
Yeah, I think so. I really and truly do, because you know a lot of these other teams, they don't always sell out, and the Packers will sell out any game they ever play forever.
Because there's people like in the middle of December that will rip their shirts off.
Oh, absolutely.
Green and yellow.
Oh, I'm one of them. All the time. You never see me up in the press box doing that? No? Oh, yeah, I do it all the time. Next time you come on the show, we'll all do that, okay? Me, you, and Jim. We'll all do that. We'll paint ourselves green.
That's fun.
But no, I think Green Bay, I've been to almost every stadium in the NFL. All the older ones. There's been some new ones built since.
The Raiders, Cowboys.
Yes,
bam,
exactly.
The kid knows
Even Minnesota. I've been to Minnesota's new one.
Oh,
but
yeah.
All the older ones, I went to every one in the NFL, and that was actually a lot of fun seeing them. But the thing that I took away from that more than anything else is how great Lambeau Field is. and how great the experience is and how great the people are. So it's Green Bay is very, very special, but you might not realize it until you go to some of those other places.
Yeah, like the Lambeau Field in general, not even like the Packers, Lambeau Field in general.
Right.
Just brings, like, even if, like, no one played. Or if there was just, like, events. Lambeau Field brings the
something energy. Mystical about it.
Yeah, brings the energy and the life to Green Bay.
It's like a Yankee Stadium or a Fenway Park or one of those kind of places.
Green Bay would not be Green Bay without Lambeau Field.
Not at all. Totally agree.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's great. I the kid's a sharp kid. If I were Jim Schmidt, I would start getting a little nervous. And, you know, Mino walks by with his shirt off all the time here in the window at night. So that's not that rare, but no, that was a very nice segment. You do some great stuff over there at the Boys and Girls
Club. I am super excited by the work I get to do with those kids. I mean, we're working on not just our, like, seventh professionally printed comic. We're working on 7 and 8 consecutively. Wow. So we're going to have – these kids are leaving the Boys and Girls Club as professional art or authors. Published authors. And that's super cool because this is going to, you know, a lot of times their artwork will sit on the refrigerator for a while with a magnet. Oh, look at what my kid did. That's so pretty. But now these comics, actually, I gave one away this morning to a mother who was having trouble with her kid in the Quick Trip. And it just kind of turned things around for them. That's a story for another day, though.
I saw that mother in the Quick Trip. You know what I said to her?
What did you say?
Well, let me just say we ended up antiquing in Door County for an afternoon.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love how that babysitter makes happen.
She's a nice girl.
That is so, that's wonderful.
So can people find the podcast, Craig?
Yeah. If you go to the Boys and Girls Club of Green Bay's website or their Facebook page probably would where you'd get a chance to see all that. And so far, Beckett has done probably 6 of them, and there's one that I did with Bill Jartz and Beckett that is an hour long, and I need to trim that down. It's huge. I'm just like, wow, they just got chatting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But Beckett also was selected. He's the youngest kid that I know of that's ever been selected to be part of the Boys and Girls Club's National Talent Showcase for their convention this coming May.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
And yeah, that's crazy. That's unbelievable.
So, all right, let me ask you this. We have about a minute left, Craig.
Oh, boy.
All right, you've got someone comes to you. This is along the lines of Daniel's question. And they've got a script and they say, I want to make this.
Mm-hmm.
In about 45 seconds, what do you tell them to do? What's their next step? You're tied into the indie film community. What do they do?
All right. Well, one of the things I would say is let's talk about it. Let's see what you've got here. Is the script sharpened? Is the script really perfect as far as what you can do? Because that right there is the place where you can start your, you know, save time.
Yeah.
If you have something that's solid and beautiful and you're ready to start shooting, let's start meeting people. And you know what, folks? Go to those film festivals. You
Absolutely.
Will meet filmmakers.
Great advice.
That's why you go. One of my buddies, Dan Wheeler, who's on there, is actually using Nathan Haben as a DP, a brilliant cinematographer. And he has been connected to the Wildwood Film Festival before. So all these connections really do come together to bring, you know, fruition to make something gorgeous.
And it's inspiring being around all those other filmmakers, too.
Absolutely.
It motivates you.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely.
Great. Craig, thanks so much. This is always fun.
Yeah. Today, the new Daredevil series came out on Disney+.
Already bored.
I'm going to watch it right after this.
Oh, no.
You guys should watch it and then go antiquing together.
Conrad, to do you together. Watch Invincible at all?
I don't watch the...
Is that the John Cena thing?
No, it's that's a different thing. This is a cartoon, but it is awesome.
All right. Craig, thanks so much. I'd like to thank John Egan as well. Thank you for all your texts, everybody. Always fun when you guys participate. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Good night.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 25% tariffs against Mexico and Canada are in place. What does that mean for us at the grocery store? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough.
when stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. President Trump says America is back. That proclamation coming during last night's address to a joint session of Congress, where he described his first weeks in office this way.
It has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action to usher in the greatest and most successful era in the history of our country.
He spoke about tariffs on imports from China, Mexico, and Canada just hours after they went into effect.
Whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth. Whatever they tax us, we will tax them.
And while Trump said the days of rule by unelected bureaucrats are over, he praised his chief